It's Mundo in the Morning.
Mundo, man. I want to be a Mundo man.
He'll take your call at 57-67-710. KCMO is Kansas City, Missouri.
Mundo, man. I want to be a Mundo man.
Pretty amazing how that works. So the Royals 6 weeks ago tell you, the taxpayer of Kansas City, hey, we've got 14, 15 locations we're looking at for a new downtown ballpark. Last night, 6 weeks later, they're down to 4-5. Wow, it is amazing how that works. Happy Wednesday. It's a hump day. Great to be here on KCMO Talk Radio. I'm telling you, we're not getting the straight deal here. They are not shooting us straight. And that doesn't mean that I am against the idea of the Royals building a downtown ballpark, but they had this listening session last night at the Urban Youth Academy. This is the second of a three-show tour, if you want to call it that. And, you know, you had the first one in early December. It was like December 13th. The Royals held this listening tour in Westport, and they said, yeah, we're looking at 15 different locations for a downtown ballpark. And I scoffed at it. That was total nonsense. There's no way that they were looking at over a dozen locations and still deciding what we want to do. But it sounded good. It made it sound like they were looking at a wide array of options. It was always 2-3. Last night, they go out there and they have this second meeting, first one of the new year. The public could attend at the Urban Youth Academy. And from people that I know who were there, they said it was not a full house by any stretch of the imagination. But they said they're down from 14 possible locations to 5 new locations for the downtown ballpark. But here's the thing, and this is what continues to bother me. Someone says, okay, you got 5 locations. What are the 5? Oh, we can't tell you that. If we tell you, we'd have to kill you. No. This is the continued lack of transparency that is happening with this process. And it stinks to high heaven. All the Royals have to do, and all I have asked them to do, is something very simple. You want up to possibly $1 billion in taxpayer monies for your downtown baseball stadium and ballpark district. Okay, you're allowed to make that request. But sit there and be straight with the person you want to foot the bill, right? It's like someone in your life. You borrow money from somebody, family member, friend. You know, not ideal, but everyone's got to do it possibly at some point. Just be honest with them on what you're borrowing the money for. We all know that, you know, and you can speak probably to personal experience on this. I can. Sometimes you feel like someone's not giving it to you straight, right? Someone's lying to you. What do they really want to borrow your money for? What do they want? What do they need? The Royals are not shooting the taxpayer straight, John.
Sometimes I get a feeling, and I don't know if it's this time, but maybe, that there's already a conclusion that we're working towards, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That it? There is a place and a whole deal, right?
And they are mapping out how we get to that conclusion on their terms with their story. That's how they want this to go.
They don't have quite all the lots around it yet.
No.
So we won't say where it is.
No, that's exactly right.
You don't want a sooner land rush going on down there.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and I understand that to some degree, where they're going to say, well, if we tell you, then everyone's going to buy up lots around there. If you've got 5 finalists, just tell us what they are. It's not like you've got 2. Give people the 5 locations that you're looking at, because I don't believe for a second the Royals have not honed in on 2, maximum 3 spots. You're telling me that since December 13th, 6-7 weeks ago, the holidays are a wash. No one's doing anything over the holidays. You're telling me that here in the last couple of weeks now, suddenly they've magically whittled this number down from 14 to 5. Just like, boom, 3 weeks. 14, you were looking at over a dozen locations for months, if not years. Now, snap your fingers, you're down to 5? Come on, I don't buy that for a second. And it doesn't bother me at all that they're down to 5. It bothers me that the process that they're going about this is clearly a process that, to John's point, is trying to lead us to their conclusion that they already know, that they already want to be true, but that they are in no way willing to be straight with the taxpayer about.
before a couple months ago when they said there was 15 locations, we thought there was about 3 locations.
Yes.
So I think we were right before they released that 15 number.
Absolutely. There was always 2 to 3. They came out with this ridiculous number of 15 because it made it seem like they were considering every part of town. We love all of Kansas City, north, south, east, west. We love it all, John.
I can't figure out where we fit in 15 geographically, right? We got a river here. We got things in the way. It's like, unless you're going to play out on Liberty Memorial Lawn, you know, I'm not quite sure that there are 15 locations around downtown.
There never were. There never were 15. So, you know, you hear from some of the team folks last night, and one of the other pitches that you heard from Royals fans and Brooke Sherman and all these other different folks, and Brooke Sherman has no relation, the Royals COO, to owner John Sherman. But the one thing he kept making the case for was this vibrant district that would showcase Kansas City and make it look great.
Why not provide everyone with a greater experience that showcases not only the Royals in a modern stadium, but also an adjacent ballpark district that includes residential, office, food and beverage, and entertainment venues, all with safe, walkable neighborhoods that hum with excitement and showcase our city.
It sounds nice when you hear the words. Who doesn't want to showcase Kansas City? Who doesn't want a greater experience? But a greater experience is in the eye of the beholder. Your greater experience may not mean my greater experience. You may say, hey, I've got a pretty great experience at the K, beautiful ballpark, really enjoy getting in and out. That may be a great experience to you. But the pitch here from the Royals is as well, this downtown ballpark village, right? $2 billion project, about half of that is a baseball stadium. The other half is apartments and restaurants and everything else, office space. And they say basically they're going to pick up the tab on the district, the office space, everything else. And what they're looking for help on is the stadium. Who are they looking for help from? Is it Jackson County? Is it Kansas City? Is it the state of Missouri? Still don't have those answers after last night. But once again, tell me how your experience as a fan improves by having office space outside the ballpark. Tell me how your experience improves by having apartments outside the baseball stadium. You may say, well, we could use a couple of restaurants outside the ballpark. Okay. I mean, you know, maybe that's something people do like to do. They want to go out, they want to eat somewhere, and then they want to walk to a baseball game. It's possible. Sure. But are we going to look at that narrative and look at that story and say, boy, that is everybody's on board. Everybody wants to go to a baseball game and go out to dinner beforehand. When we're possibly staring a recession in the face, by the way, inflation is skyrocketing. Is that something that people are going to do right now on top of playing top dollar for baseball tickets in a new ballpark? Once again, maybe, but I don't think that's a done deal by any stretch of the imagination. So I'm hearing a lot of fancy words. I'm hearing a lot of pleasant talk. But I'm not hearing a lot about the importance of what actually makes sense when you own a baseball team and what you are asking the taxpayer for and why. And most importantly, this is a smart town with smart people, with engaged taxpayers. Don't BS them. Don't. And after last night, it felt like there was still a lot of that going on. A lot of that going on. They've got their conclusion, and they will spend the next few weeks, few months, navigating the public towards their preferred conclusion that is already set in stone. That's how this thing feels. 5767710. And you know, I'll come back. We'll get to some of you. But also, when it comes to the sports lackeys in town, don't buy an ounce of what they're selling. I'll explain that next. Oh, don't worry. The Royals just magically whittled their number down from 14 baseball stadium locations to now 5 in the span of 6 weeks. It's amazing how that works. Boy, they have just completely come down a huge number. I can't believe it. Now, before we get to you at 5767710, after the Royals held their second of three listening sessions, their first since early December, last night at the Urban Youth Academy in town to talk about their proposal or their idea to move from the K to a downtown stadium by the time their lease is ending in 2030. So you got some time here, but still, they got to get the ball rolling on this. There is going to be a big push from a lot of the sports guys in town to convince you that you need a downtown baseball stadium. And I'm not here to say, and I'm going to reiterate it because the audience is always turning over, I'm not here to say it's a horrible idea or the Royals shouldn't do it. But I am naturally coming at this with far more skepticism than your average sports yakker in town. Why? Well, because they're oftentimes lackeys for the teams, a lot of them. They got their friends there. They've got their connections there. They've got their sources there. And part of the deal is they are going to have to go on air and go on their shows and tell you how downtown baseball is the greatest thing you never knew you needed. You're going to love it. It's going to be the greatest thing, and the Royals need it to compete. And none of that, absolutely none of that, is true. The Royals can compete. It's going to be hard. I mean, baseball's economics are as such where it's difficult for small market teams to compete. This is not the NFL. There's no salary cap. We all understand that. You know, you got teams like the Dodgers and the Mets and the Yankees spending $300 million on baseball teams. The Royals spend a quarter to a third of that, depending on the year. It's difficult to compete. I understand that. But if you think magically building a new stadium and magically putting some apartments up fixes that problem, fixes the major economic issues in the sport of baseball as it relates to the Royals, you are kidding yourself. None of that is true. And they're going to tell you that, and they might make it sound good, but it does not make any sense that that just fixes a problem, fixes a $200 million a year gap in payrolls between teams. That's not going to do it. And anyone telling you that is lying to you. They're literally just lying to you. Carl's an Independence. He is on KCMO. Carl, go ahead. Good morning.
Hi, Pete. Well, there's two parts to this project. There's, of course, the stadium, and then there's all the apartments and office complexes and everything. And looks like the Royals are going to build the office complexes. Well, the stadium's going to generate cash maybe two or three times a month for 6 months out of the year. And all these other amenities will generate money every day of the week. It looks to me like the Royals are getting the cash cow and the rest of us are getting to feed it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is a good deal. Oh, and one parting shot. Let's go, Brandon.
Carl, let me ask you real quick. You going to go tonight to the listening session in Independence out there? All right, Carl, you there, Carl? No. Okay, Carl wanted to drop the mic, which I appreciate. I'm never going to be against somebody dropping their own mic. I just figured since Carl was in Independence, John, he may want to go out to tonight's listening session.
Now, I think if you're quick enough with the delay in the radio, you can drop the mic on the phone and then run and hear it on the radio.
I think you're right. I think that's exactly what Carl did, actually. Carl wanted to say, let's go, Brandon, and then hear himself over the air. Oh, gosh, I sound so good. Don't worry, Carl, you sound great, buddy. Those pipes are sharp as ever. Don't you worry one bit. Dan in KC North. What's up, Dan? Go ahead. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. You hear me okay?
Yeah, what's the good word, Dan? What do you got?
Well, I'm kind of laughing at what you're saying about the Royals, because when you were talking about redoing the KCI, it was like, okay, you're all for it and bringing more revenue in, bringing, you know, better for businessmen, things like that. And now you're slamming the Royals for wanting to bring that downtown. Now, history is going to repeat itself, because we used to have the stadium downtown. They moved it out. Why? I don't know. I don't know all the logistics about it. But, and then we had streetcars. Mm-hmm. So everybody's bad-mouthing streetcars. Years ago, we had streetcars. They went away. same thing. So this thing keeps repeating itself over and over again. But I just thought it was kind of funny how you were, you know,
well, here's slamming the Royals. But there's a big difference between these two projects. One is looking for money from the taxpayer. The other is not.
I got you.
Right?
I didn't know where the revenue or where the money was coming from. I haven't researched that, but I just you know, threw that opinion out there. So
yeah, listen, Dan, thanks for checking in. But here's to me the major difference, as I see it, between these two projects. Because I, you know, what Dan is saying is something that many of you have texted in. Hey, Pete, you're all for the airport, but you hate the stadium. One, I don't hate the stadium. I'm skeptical of the process right now of moving downtown. And number two, and I give Dan credit because at least Dan called in and said it to my face, which I appreciate, Dan. Thank you for that. Seriously, I genuinely mean that. The difference is with the airport, number one, if you want to come to Kansas City and you can't drive, you've got to go to an airport, right? You have no other choice. That is the entryway, the opening gates of your city. For air travel and for business travel. To me, that's worth something. And also, here's how the airport is getting paid for. The airlines all basically have taken out loans, and they're paying off the airport project by themselves. They have not asked the city or the county for any taxes or anything like that to pay for that airport. The Royals are looking at your tax dollars to fund the baseball stadium, and they won't even tell you how much they want. And you know, and I know, they know how much they want, but they won't tell you how much they want, which is also bothersome in this whole process. That's a big difference. Now, they've talked about extending the 3/8-cent sales tax, which is currently in Jackson County, which is a rollover of, you know, the deal from, what, 15, 20 years ago now that paid for all the upgrades at it. The sports complex, but that doesn't bring in the kind of money that they're going to need. And by the way, the Chiefs play a role in that as well. The Chiefs get half of those monies, and the Chiefs have been sitting back going on another Super Bowl run. No one's heard from them on any of this. So how does that factor in? So that's the big difference between an airport that is something that anybody traveling to Kansas City needs to use and something you have not been asked to pay for, and the Royals saying, we think downtown baseball is a fun idea. Oh, by the way, can we get a blank check? And I see that as a pretty big difference. 5767710 is how you join us on KCMO Talk Radio. We'll get to more of your calls, plus violent language continues to permeate corporate America. That's next. Hey, by the way, Bill O'Reilly's going to be here at 8:30, 2 hours from now. So set the alarms as you get going, as we get going on a Wednesday. It's great to be here on KCMO Talk Radio. The Royals held their second of three listening sessions last night. They were at the Urban Youth Academy as they try to convince you, the taxpayer, that they need some of your money to build a downtown ballpark. We heard this pitch from them back in early December in Westport. Their second meeting was last night. And I'm not getting the sense in any way that the public, that John Q. taxpayer, is getting a fair shake on this thing. It feels to me like the Royals are doing this listening tour because they feel like it's good for them optics-wise and PR-wise. And I don't believe that it actually is. I think it's backfiring on them in a big way. And I'm not coming at this from the angle of never build a new stadium. I think this is a bad idea. I don't. I think their process has been terrible, though. Their process has been absolutely horrific. It's like some overpaid consultant said, you should go on a listening tour around like you're some cheesy politician. I'm going on a listening tour. I'm going to listen to the people. No, you're not. You're not even giving the people really good information that they want. You're not answering their questions. In fact, they've got more questions than answers, John.
Ah, the old town hall play,
yes.
Right?
Yes, yes, you're right. We need a town hall. The folks will be on our side. This thing is backfiring on them in a major way. Eric's in Overland Park. What's up, Eric? Good morning.
Good morning, Pete. Yeah, I just wanted to point out a few things. First of all, we're already in a recession. We're possibly headed into worse. And right now, that's when they decide they want to ask for $1 billion from the taxpayer. Secondly, I'm afraid I'm out in Johnson County, and remember that five-county tax they tried to get on us, and four mm-hmm. counties voted it down? Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping they're not going to try it again, but that's one of the reasons I don't live in Kansas City, so they can't continually reach into my pocket and spend money on stuff like that. Third, build the stadium yourselves. If anybody doubts that if this is a scam, go Google stadium rip-off taxpayers, and you'll see all kinds of articles and even books about this, and explains why it doesn't work. But they don't want you to know that. They're relying on the ignorance of the people out there that aren't aware of this. And the other thing you mentioned, the radio, about the sports jocks on the radio. You saw what happened to Kevin Keatsman when he said something that may have been unpleasant, and he pointed out a few warts about the Chiefs. He lost his job.
Yeah.
They are really tied into the team. So their jobs at those radio stations depend on the Chiefs and the Royals and being nice and being, I hate to say shills, but sometimes.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
They are.
No, absolutely. They've got to carry the water. Well said all around there, Eric. Nice job. You are spot on with that analysis. And especially as well, let's be honest too, the Royals are in business as an organization airing their games on a sports station in this town. What do you think that means for the people at that radio station? You think they have to play nice? You think they have to toe a certain line? You think they have to do what is being asked of them? Absolutely. And if it's not a written rule, and it usually isn't, it's kind of a wink, wink, nod, nod. I mean, I've been doing this long enough to, you know, be on the receiving end of that in certain places, not here, but elsewhere. They are going to be beholden to what the Royals want. They are. And they're going to push for it, and they're going to advocate for it, and they're not going to be advocating for you, the taxpayer. That's what we're going to do here. And it doesn't mean that downtown baseball is wrong. It doesn't mean it's a bad idea. But our angle is going to be looking at it from what is in the best interest of you, the fan, the little guy, the person who doesn't have a seat at the table. Not just doing whatever is in the best interest of ownership of this team at the expense of the taxpayers, potentially. 5767710. Chuck, yep, is in Kansas City. Hey, Chuck, good morning.
Good morning, sir. I was, you know, one of your earlier callers was talking about, you know, we had a downtown stadium and he wasn't sure why we got rid of it. You know, part of the issue with the old Brooklyn Stadium was accessibility. They had no parking. There were a lot of issues with that. And when Jackson County and the Sports Authority and the city all picked the location the stadiums are at now, one of the, you know, the big things were it was east, you know, it was accessibility issues were pretty well taken care of. They had an area that provided a lot of parking, you know, and it was expandable. I mean, they had an area that if it grew, they could expand the parking and make things like this. You're seeing the Royals now follow the trend of so many other teams where it's, you know, we want something new, and you're going to give it to us. And, you know, if this fails on them, you know, look for them to sit back and start doing like so many other teams, St. Louis and stuff. Well, we're going to go someplace else if you don't give us a new stadium.
Yeah.
But it's almost like they're disregarding completely the aspect. They want to build a stadium downtown, which would be neat, build a nice stadium that looks pretty again. But in 2008, the city spent how much money, or Jackson County did, to renovate that stadium. And the comments at the All-Star game in 2012 were that was one of the best stadiums in the country.
Yeah. And now 10 years later, Chuck, you're right. And 10 years later, apparently, it's got concrete cancer and it's going to collapse if we don't, go replace it in the next 10 years. You're right about that. You're absolutely right about everything you just lined up and put out there. So I agree. Travis Independence. Hello, Travis. Go ahead. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you. It may come off a little adolescent or not, but most, financial investment groups, when they go to do a deal with somebody, they always want to know what their ROI is, return on investment. We're going to dig into our pocket at taxpayer. What's our return on this? Whether we want a stadium or not, you're digging into our pockets. Number two, I already have to dig into my pocket just to watch the game on TV. And half the time it's blacked out anyway. So what's all of our incentive and our return for us to even want to do this?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know what it is. I mean, I genuinely don't know what it is. I don't have the answer, Travis. And I know you're asking all great questions, like any business. All right, what is the taxpayer ROI on this thing? We just invested a few hundred million dollars from the sales tax, that was passed almost 20 years ago. What is the ROI and extending that tax today? And I don't think anybody can give you that answer because they don't even tell you what exactly they want.
Right. And then they want us to dig into our pocket, but you don't want to tell us where the locations are.
Yeah.
So where's the partnership and all that? Number two, where is the meeting at tonight in Independence? I might go.
It is. I hope that you go, Travis. It is at the Midwest Genealogy Center.
Okay. It's not far from my house.
Okay.
Cool.
Hey, if you go tonight, I would love to hear from you in the morning, Travis.
Okay.
All right.
You bet.
That'd be great, man.
Thank you, sir.
Good deal. The more that we get to, the better. I want as many of you, especially if you're over there in Independence, go tonight, Midwest Genealogy Center. The time is 5:30 tonight.
Yep.
5:30. The Royals are going to be doing that next listening session. The last of three. So that's not like there's another one after this that we know of. This is the last one taking place tonight. They had one last night at the Urban Youth Academy. They have this one coming up tonight. Frank in Raytown. Go ahead, Frank.
Yes. The only thing I really got to say is the Royals have had that stadium for all these years, and if they can't maintain, if it's as bad as they say, if they can't maintain it, why should we give them pay for a new one if they can't maintain the old one?
Okay. All right. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it. Wes in Gladstone. Hey, Wes, what's happening?
Yeah, Pete. Don't look now, but Nashville is looking at building a ballpark downtown. So there is going to be some chatter about, hey, if we can't get a stadium, we know where we can go find one. The other thing is, who invented the listening tour? It was Hillary Clinton when she ran for a Senate in New York. So right there, my BS radar goes up. But, Pete,
yes, Russ.
I have to disagree with you. We are paying for the new airport by paying increased ticket prices. Like you said, the airlines took out loans. Somebody's going to pay for those loans, and it's going to be not all the taxpayers, but the taxpayers that fly out of the airport.
But then it's a user fee.
Okay, right.
I mean, that's
right,
fine. Here's the other thing, too. We're also paying for the new airports in Denver and Minneapolis because they just bundle their debt together, and they do, yes, charge more for their ticket prices, but we're paying for new airports in other parts of the country as well.
Well, you just sold me on driving more then. But hey, Pete, here's the thing about the downtown ballpark, okay? If the Royals are only going to compete for a championship every 30 years, because it was 30 years in between their world championship, who gives a crap about the baseball team? When they lose 100 games a season, I don't care how nice the stadium is. Nobody's going to go.
Yeah.
You're right. That's a big problem.
Listen, if they do a new stadium and lose 100 games a year, the first 2 years will have high attendance for people going to check out the new stadium. After that, it's back to the way it was. As for Nashville and places like that, you know, here's the thing. I genuinely believe, and John Sherman and I have some mutual friends, I genuinely believe John Sherman loves this city, loves this team, and wants to keep it here. I don't think John Sherman is looking to leverage Kansas City against Nashville. I genuinely don't believe that for a second. But what I will add to that is if push comes to shove and this no longer becomes a viable business and it's a big losing proposition for him, I could see him unloading it. And then if he unloads the team, whoever the buyer is, who knows, right? Then it's like, all right, you're selling to somebody who may say, I'm taking this thing somewhere else. But I don't think that is John Sherman's intention in all this.
MLB is also looking to expand to a couple cities, so that could be Nashville, you know.
That's true. Portland. Whatever. Could be the Tampa Bay Rays or something like that as well. So I don't think that's the first step in any of this. Do I think it's something that could come up down the road? Yes, it could. Pete Mundo on KCMO, 6:46 on a Wednesday. Bill O'Reilly's going to join me at 8:30. Do not miss that conversation here on KCMO. Coming up, violent language in the workplace. We've got some recommendations on phrases you should drop and phrases you should switch to coming up next. I just want to make you a better speaker at the workplace. That's all we're here to do. Warn you of the wokeness that continues to permeate your workplace.
Let me get some notes here.
All right. Pull out your pen and paper there, John.
Yeah.
Mark, I need you taking vigorous notes as well for the workplace.
Don't want to be a cause of a staff memo.
No, you don't. You know, we've got 7 radio stations here in the building, and, you know, you say the wrong thing to the wrong person, especially if you're one of us, and, you know, you're sitting in HR's office by the end of the day. Not a pretty scene here sometimes, but it's the price we pay for doing what we do. So this, I just put this up on Twitter. There is this viral post going around, evolving from violent language, how we can evolve from violent language in the workplace. So I'm going to give you a moment. Take out that pen and paper. I know you're just getting your cup of Joe going this morning. Get ready to head out to the office. You're listening on your smartphone, on the KCMO app, on your Alexa. You're about to get in the car. So just grab that pen and paper. So here are the phrases that we need to get rid of, according to, you know, woke corporate America. Evolving from violent language. We've got to drop phrases like, we're going to pull the trigger. I'll take a stab at it. Did we jump the gun? Here's what they are recommending you use instead. You see where this is going, John?
Sort of.
Instead of, we're going to pull the trigger, how about, we're going to launch? Instead of, I'll take a stab at it, you say, I'll take the first pass at it. Instead of, did we jump the gun? You can ask, did we start too soon? You see, we don't want these violent language phrases being used in the workplace, John. It really might trigger somebody these days.
Those violent phrases, I'm not sure how many of us walk around talking like we're in a 40s detective movie in the first place. Seems like natural attrition is taking care of those because I haven't heard those and I don't know when.
Well, there's a few of them that I like to use. I like, yeah. Like here's one of them on the list. Let's not beat a dead horse, right? That's a phrase. I'll break that one out once in a while. We're beating a dead horse here, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of that,
we don't want to do that, huh?
Here's the suggestion instead of let's not beat a dead horse. Let's not focus on that anymore. That's what they recommend you use.
Let's not belabor the point.
Yeah. I also like this one. That was overkill. They don't want you to use that phrase anymore in corporate America. Instead of that was overkill, you should say, that was a bit excessive. How about this? This is also one of my favorites. No longer can you say, I bombed the presentation. Now, instead of saying, I bombed, because of course, bomb, 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 bomb. Was that from Meet the Parents? Isn't there a Meet the Parents when Ben Stiller's like saying, bomb, 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 the Robert De Niro? Isn't that a scene?
He's getting off the plane.
That's right.
He gets, detained.
That's right. He gets detained, and then he just starts going, bum, 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 bum. Anyway, I didn't think I'd get in a Meet the Parents reference before 7 a.m. I'm, you know what?
You got it in by
Give me a round of applause.
Minutes.
Give me a round of applause. Instead of I bombed the presentation, you say, I didn't do my best. Yeah, gosh, I didn't do my best. I bombed out. Oh, no, can't say that. I didn't do my best. I'm going to have to keep this up in the office because I don't know who I'm going to say the wrong thing to around here. This is not good. When you talk off the cuff for 4 hours a day and then you got to go by, you know, rules and regulations on not using violent language. To be clear, this is not in our workplace. This is a viral social media post that's making the rounds in corporate America on moving on from violent language. But just know this could be coming to a workplace near you. It's not here, but it could be coming to a workplace near you, John.
PETA no longer wants us to talk about the elephant in the room or the 800-pound gorilla because that's, you know, fat shaming a monkey, a primate.
When does this end? How does this end? We can't talk about animals in reference to anything.
No.
We can't use guns in reference to anything. Like, even this was on the list. Instead of saying we have to pick our battles, because that is violent language, we should say we have to choose our opportunities.
Uh-oh, there goes that Sun Tzu Art of War book.
Nobody cares.
This is a joke, but it's a joke, but it's also like not. That's the scary part. I wish I could just share this and say, yeah, you know, this is a good laugh, and it is a good laugh. Don't get me wrong. I could do this all day, but I don't want to beat a dead horse.
I was just shooting fish in a barrel. That way I got both. I got the firearms
and
the
animal. Yeah, that's right. You got them both.
Shooting fish in a barrel here.
Oh, God. 5767710 on KCMO Talk Radio. Bill O'Reilly is going to join me at 8:30. Do not miss that conversation. Coming up, did Tony Romo drop an N-bomb in the AFC Championship game? That's getting attention. We'll get to it next. You know, being at the game on Sunday, I kind of missed the uproar of all this regarding Tony Romo. Now, Tony Romo has completely fallen off a cliff in terms of his sportscasting skills. You think back a few years ago, and Tony Romo was the guy who was predicting plays. Tony Romo was the guy who was able to foresee what a quarterback was going to do before the play unfolded. And now Tony Romo is a glorified, over-caffeinated cheerleader. It's really been disappointing because I thought he could be a great color guy, and now he's just a WWE hype man. I think he's gotten bored, to be honest.
Bengals had the ball late, fourth down, you know, and it was the over-the-top, deep to Jamar Chase thing that was the result of the play. Oh, they're gonna draw the Chiefs offside here. They're not really gonna go for it here. They're gonna draw the Chiefs. They're gonna go for it.
Yeah,
yeah. They're getting aggressive.
Yeah, he's you know, maybe he was just lucky that first season, but
I think so.
To his credit, he got himself a $180 million contract out of it from CBS. So it kind of worked out well for Tony Romo. He's getting paid $18 million a year to do that. God bless the man, only in America, right?
There you go.
So apparently, and this has gotten a lot of coverage over the last couple of days, Tony Romo, on that run by Pacheco, where Pacheco steamrolled a couple of defenders up the left sideline, the allegation is that Tony Romo nearly dropped the N-word. Take a listen to this.
It's the tough yards, the finish, and the play. Right there, you got three. Talked about this is the best tackling team. They don't miss tackles.
Okay. Let me play this again here for you.
It's the tough yards, the finish, and the play. Right there, you got three. Talked about this is the best tackling team. They don't miss tackles.
So everyone's sitting there saying, CBS needs to talk to Romo, apologize. Now, I'm not a Tony Romo fan, but a guy can't apologize for saying a word he didn't say. We live in a cancel culture environment right now where we're trying to cancel somebody based on what we thought they might have possibly said. Not on what they actually said, not on the words that came out of their mouths. But everyone is jumping to this. This is the next level of cancel culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer we're going to cancel you for something you did or something you said. Now we're going to cancel you for what you possibly almost said. You know what's after that? Next, they're going to cancel you for what your thoughts may have been.
Yep.
You will get canceled for what you are thinking. And they will be the ones who will allege what you are thinking, John.
Let's go to the tape and rewind that and break this down on Tony Romo. Gene Steratore, what do you think? Forensics analysis say.
You know, here's the part of it, too, because people are jumping on it saying, oh, he almost said, well, here's the thing. Listen one more time.
The tough yards, the finish on the play. Right there, you got three. Talked about this is the best tackling team. They don't miss tackles.
You got three. No. Well, if he was going to say the N-word, it didn't make sense anyway because one of those three guys was a white guy. I'm looking at it right now. If he was just going to be referring to three black guys, well, there were three Bengals players and one of them was white. So even if your allegation is somehow that was the word Tony Romo was about to use on a national broadcast with 53 million people watching, it feels like a stretch to me. But it also does... Go ahead, Mark, before I get to my movie reference.
Three nickel high. That's what he was going to say.
Three nickelbacks, even though they weren't nickelbacks. Maybe he was realizing that nickelbacks weren't the actual players on the field in that given point in time. But I couldn't help but think about a Blazing Saddles reference here as people are going nuts on what Tony Romo may have been saying on the broadcast the other night.
The sheriff is a nick.
What
are you
saying? The sheriff is near.
No, got a blame thing, Ruin. The sheriff is a nick.
It's like, wait, we're just assuming what somebody is saying here. Now, obviously, in Blazing Saddles, they were wrong, but...
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers' world. Game is healthy, game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
But you cannot make the assumption on what somebody is saying when you haven't heard them say a word, and they did not say a word. I don't think Tony Romo is good at his job, but I will not sit here, as many have done in sports media over the last 2 days, and call the man a racist and say that he was about to drop the N-word on national television, CBS broadcast, just willy-nilly like that. I've heard a lot of white guys say, oh, if he almost said it there, what's he saying in his private space? You don't even know what he was about to say. So can we just back off? I know everybody wants to call somebody else a racist. Trust me. Doing what I do, I understand that pretty well. It is very easy now, and we just throw it around. Yeah, he's a racist, she's a racist, you're a racist, I'm a racist, everyone's a racist. We're all racist, except for, of course, me, because I'm virtuous and almighty and everything else. I'm
prove
woke.
Prove you're not a racist.
Oh, or that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony Romo, prove to us that you weren't going to say that word, right? That's kind of where we're at. And that's what people are demanding of CBS over the last couple of days. Hey, CBS, you must say something and prove to us that Tony Romo was not about to say that word. You see, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Heads, I win. Tails, you lose. That's the game that they play now, this whole cancel culture movement. And now it's coming after Tony Romo. I mean, I'd love to cancel Tony Romo because he's not a good broadcaster, not because he might have said us some word that no one can prove. The text line is 816-576-7710. Pete, was he possibly saying three near him?
It's the tough yards, the finish on the play. Right there, you got three. Talked about this is the best tackling team. They don't miss tackles.
That's possible. You know, here's the thing as well when I'm listening to Tony Romo. And I have to remember this sometimes doing what I do. When your wheels are spinning and you're like thinking about the four different directions you want to go in when you're doing a segment or doing a show or whatever, sometimes your mind is moving faster than your mouth. We all get there sometimes doing this for a living. Never mind when you're doing a football game where at least I can project and I can know in my mind what direction I want to go. When you're breaking down a game, you're at the mercy of what the players do. You can't even prepare or predict any of that, right? You've got to just react to what you just saw. And that's a good point on the text line. I mean, that's as reasonable an explanation as anything else that Tony was saying three near him.
It's the tough yards, the finish on the play. Right there, you got three. Talked about this is the best tackling team. They don't miss tackles.
That's as good an explanation as I've heard.
I like that one. And he has a little bit of ADD, too.
Oh, he's all over the place.
Going all the time, yeah. So I could see him jumping around like that.
That's what I mean. Tony's mind, if you watch, and we've all watched a lot of games with Tony Romo on him because him and Jim Nance get the number one CBS game, I hate to say. You know, if there's one, I guess if there's one bad part about being a Chiefs fan, you get too much Tony Romo during the season.
I kind of amused myself here. I thought, what if Ben Shapiro were calling this football game?
You want to talk about a motor mouth.
Stop, start, stop, start.
Imagine Ben on the play-by-play, Tony on the color. You wouldn't know left from right.
He does one of those pregnant pauses right when the snap, though.
Yeah.
Holmes with the ball, and he drops back at him.
Oh, man. But I'm sitting here, and I'm saying to myself, please, people, back off of Tony. And I don't want to be in the position of defending Tony Romo. Trust me, it's the last thing I want to do. But, man, oh, man. They will look for a reason to cancel anybody, even if you don't say a word now. If you said literally the first letter of a word that they don't like, that they can then insinuate was you trying to possibly say that word, they will demand your cancellation and everything else. 5767710. John Topeka, what's up, John?
Hey, good morning, buddy. My question is, if that's their first thought, if they think he was going to say that, why is it their first thought he was going to say that?
Ooh.
Because it takes one to know one if that's the case.
Ooh.
And I don't know. It paints it a little different color there. You know what I'm saying?
I like what you did there. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Flip it right back on him, John. Flip it right back on him. Why is that your assumption or your insinuation that Tony Romo would just be dropping that word? What does it say about you? Flip it right on him, John. Well done. Bill O'Reilly, his morning update's coming up next. He's also going to be here on the show at 8:30 this morning. Do not miss that. All coming up. Pete Mundo on KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. And Laura Kelly's in a fight with the legislature over taxes. We'll get to all that and more coming up next. Well, the proud boomer, Bill O'Reilly, is going to be on the show this morning at 8:35. Don't miss that conversation. I'm going to have to give him a hard time, too, because I heard him pick the Bengals last week over the Chiefs. So we'll start off with Bill on that topic and then get to the news of the day just over 1 hour from now. Don't miss it. Stream it, of course, on the app or your smartphone, smart speaker, if you're not in the car then. And just some breaking news before I get to my next story on Laura Kelly. Tom Brady is breaking 2 minutes ago. Tom Brady announcing on social media that he is retiring. Now, he retired last year, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I don't know if Tom Brady's actually retiring.
I'm not coming to camp.
Yeah. See you for week one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he says he's retiring, but he has become the boy who cried wolf. So, we'll see. We'll monitor. Tom Brady hanging him up, so he says. In Kansas, there is a showdown that's going to be taking place, and we told you this was going to come, between the legislature and the governor's office around cutting taxes. Kansas is not a tax-friendly state. When you put it all together, it is one of the least friendly tax states in the country, like bottom 5 to 10, depending on which ranking you look at. And I'm not going to sit here because I can't envision something I'd want to hear less than some guy breaking down tax rates on the radio. So I'm not going to do it, but what I'm simply going to do is give you the big picture here on what's going on. You've got the state that has got to figure out a way to make itself more viable for individuals and for businesses. Because right now, when you look at all the rankings, like U-Haul does a ranking of growth states. They put together all 50 states based on growth, because with U-Haul, you know, there you have X amount of trucks. And those trucks go from point A to point B. They stay at point B until somebody takes those trucks from point B and brings it to point C. So they understand the growth that is happening around the country, which states are doing well, and which states are seeing a lot of people leave. Kansas is not in good company. Kansas is ranked 39th out of 50 states when it comes to growth. The only states that are below Kansas on growth: Rhode Island, Alaska, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, Michigan, Illinois, and California at number 50. If you look at the states that surround Kansas, Missouri is 15th on this list. Colorado is 11th. You heard Oklahoma. I gave you Oklahoma, which comes in at 42nd. and Nebraska, even ahead of Kansas, at 32. So only Oklahoma, the bordering states, is doing worse when it comes to growth than the state of Kansas. Now, you know, you can't magically put beaches in Kansas. I get that. You can't magically give us 70-degree temperatures year-round. I understand that as well, although I do have that beachfront property in Salina for you whenever you're ready. Give me a call at 576-7710. But that aside, you can make your state more attractive for people. Now, I think it's a great state to live in. I do. I said that as someone who has lived on both sides of our state line. Could it be better? Could it be more appealing? Could it be more tax-friendly? Absolutely, it can be. So the showdown in Topeka is going to be this. How do they cut taxes? Laura Kelly has already said she wants to eliminate the grocery sales tax this year. Right now, that sales tax is being phased out by 2025. Good. I'm glad. They should be getting rid of that. It's a regressive tax, and it will help people across the socioeconomic spectrum. The Kansas Chamber, and as a result, a lot of Republicans in Topeka, want to propose a flat tax. And that would be basically 5% flat tax for annual income above $15,000. Right now, you know, it kind of staggers up above $15,000. It goes to 5.25% for income between $15,000 and $30,000, and then 5.7% for income above $30,000. Of course, that number is doubled for couples filing jointly. So we're looking at a minor tax cut, and I do think a flat tax is most equitable. Now, you may say, no, Pete, it's going to help rich people more than poor people. Well, yeah, of course, obviously, because they're paying a lot more in taxes, right? One of the talking points from Laura Kelly's office is that the top 1% of Kansas wage earners under this proposed flat tax would see an average tax cut of $11,500, while the bottom 20% would receive $192 in a tax cut. Well, yeah, because the top 1% is paying astronomically more taxes than the bottom 20%. Like, that's a fact. That doesn't mean it's inequitable. It doesn't mean it's unfair. In fact, I would propose if we had a flat tax across the entire nation, we would not have the class warfare that we see right now. But that's probably a story for another day. The broader point is this. Laura Kelly is saying, I'm willing to cut taxes, but I want to do things like cut sales taxes and grocery taxes and things like that. The legislature is saying, okay, that's good, but we also should look at some kind of income tax cut. But what Laura Kelly is going to use and what her Democrat colleagues are going to use is Sam Brownback, the ghost of Sam Brownback. Oh, the Brownback man's coming back from the grave 10 years later. Here he is.
It's also Dickensian, right? Christmas Carol and Scrooge.
That's exactly what they're going to do. So watching this battle on taxes over the next few months is going to be interesting. And what they all should agree on is Kansas needs to figure out a way to be more tax friendly because that is where they can find themselves growth. They can import beaches here. You can import mountains here. You can make it more tax friendly. Coming up, a story from Mark's daughter's school that has not gotten enough attention. It's gotten no attention from the news. There was a major scare at a local school in Johnson County. We'll get to it next. So as far as we know, this story that we're about to share didn't get any attention. But Mark's daughter's school, and I'm not going to say where, I'll just say a Johnson County Elementary School. Is that a fair assessment, Mark?
Yes.
Okay. Johnson County Elementary School went on lockdown yesterday. Yes, like full-blown crisis lockdown yesterday. Mark was telling me about it after the show, and I said we'll talk about it tomorrow morning. And I thought that maybe one of the local TV stations might pick it up. I mean, you know. Hate to say it, but it is a story. It's kind of a slow news time, as far as I can tell, just looking at their websites. Not much going on. So you think this might be something that gets some attention, but it did not. I haven't seen this story anywhere. So I'll let you tell the story here, Mark. What happened? A teacher, I'll set it up, and then you fill in the blanks and fill in the details. A teacher had a medical emergency. And as you were explaining to me, and I didn't know this, but every teacher now, and I assume this is district-wide, has basically, what, a button on their chest?
Yeah, they have a badge that they can push to alert if there's a medical emergency or if there is a threat emergency.
So if there's, you know, God forbid, a school shooting or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they've got this badge on them. And with the badge, you know, you can push it a certain amount of times for a medical emergency. And then if you keep pushing it, that will signal shut down, lock down the school. Everybody goes in the lockdown mode.
Mm-hmm.
So you push it, what, three times for a medical emergency.
Yep.
And then if you have, God forbid, an active shooter situation, you just press that button repeatedly.
Yeah.
So I guess what, a teacher in the school was having a medical emergency?
Or a child was having an emergency.
Or a child was having an emergency.
Mm-hmm. And the button got pushed too many times. And they sent an email out that said that it was an incidental thing, so I didn't think much of it. And then I asked my daughters about it. And my oldest daughter said that they were working on math problems on the smart board that they have in their room. And the math problems went away. Screen turned black and it said lockdown in big bold letters. And then over the intercom, they start to hear instructions of what they're supposed to do. Turn off the lights.
Really?
Turn off the lights, lock the doors, get a barricade if you need to. And her teacher goes over, does what she's supposed to do, locks the doors, puts something in front so that nobody can see under the doors. She said that some of the kids in her classroom were crying. She said that when it said this is not a drill, that she got a little bit nervous that there might be a shooter in the school. And, so it was pretty intense.
Oh, man. So basically what I'm going to assume is that this teacher who was hitting the button, the badge on her for a medical emergency, forgot or didn't realize which way it was supposed to go. You only hit it three times for a medical emergency, whereas if you want to basically alert the rest of the school that we have an active shooter situation, you hit that thing repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, maybe the teacher had it backwards, right? Maybe in their head it was hit three times if it's an active shooter thing and hit repeatedly for a medical emergency. But that's a pretty big screw-up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, that is a pretty big screw-up. And I understand we, unfortunately, have to have some of these policies in place. And it sounds like this school district and the school clearly is well prepared.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're sending kids into that kind of hysteria and teachers into that kind of hysteria because one teacher forgot, hey, do I hit it three times or do I hit it six times for the medical emergency? I don't know. I think we need to tweak the system here.
And if somebody got hurt in a classroom or something, they just like really freaked out and just started pushing it really fast, like somebody's bleeding all over or something. Like, you know, it could have just been a quick split second brain fart or something.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And that's like, you know, it's like being a police officer, right? You're talking about tenths of a second. You've got to make a decision. Who knows what happened to the student? You got a medical emergency and you're not thinking clearly. And it's like, just hit the badge.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe you have, I hate to say, two different badges, one green, one blue. I don't know. But I'm surprised this hasn't happened before, to be honest.
Yeah, when they announced it this past summer that every teacher in this district was going to have this, I was wondering, how close is it going to be to them? Is it going to be on their hip? Is it going to be on their chest? Like, can a student just go up and start pushing it? Like, I was wondering if that would happen, too.
Yeah, like, what if you leave your badge on your desk, right? Or, I don't know, you go to the bathroom, you accidentally leave it on your desk, your kids are like, let's go push the badge and lock down the school, and then we don't have to go to math class. Like, you know, kids are dumb.
Yeah.
So, boy, that sounds scary.
Yeah, and it was scary for the kids, but like I said, at least we know that if it, God forbid, actually happens, they're ready for it.
Yeah.
Hopefully that there's not another accident like this again where it accidentally gets pushed, though.
No. I want to say fire the teacher because they literally just sent kids through a whirlwind of emotions completely unnecessarily. But to be fair, because I'm a fair arbiter of the news, I am willing to hear that teacher's story and try to figure out how they screwed that up. And also, I want to know how many times you've got to hit the badge to force the school into lockdown. Is it three times for medical emergency, and then if you hit it a fourth time, you're locking down? Or do you have to hit it like 12 times to cause the lockdown?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. And they all got trained on it before the school year.
Well, clearly not well enough, or at least somebody missed training or wasn't paying attention. Somebody was doodling in their notebook during training.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm glad, obviously, it wasn't anything like what the expectations were when all that went down. But If nothing else, that teacher's got to get a stern talking to. We cannot have kids going into full-blown lockdown mode thinking they're school shooters when it's really just a medical emergency of some kind.
Yeah, we might see a week-long paid leave situation or something like that. I don't know.
You just can't have this happening.
Yeah.
You can't. It's a bad deal. Mike Pompeo was on this show last week, and Mike Pompeo told this audience that he is indeed going to Iowa in the not-too-distant future. I asked Mike Pompeo about this, and in case you missed it, here's what he had to say about 2024. The former Secretary of State, who clearly is looking at a presidential run. Everybody's asking you what 2024 is going to look like for you, so I guess I would frame it differently. What does that decision come down to for Mike Pompeo as to whether or not he ultimately does run for president?
Pete, those decisions are so personal, but it'll be Susan, my wife Susan, and me that will ultimately decide. And I think, and I hope that anybody that's putting themselves forward to run for elected office says, am I the right person to present and make real arguments, not tweet, not own the libs, but make real arguments about how to improve the lives of every American? If you believe you can do that, that you can both have a chance that you can be successful at winning the election, and then most importantly, when in office, do the things you said you would do. Deliver on the promises you made in the campaign. If you think you could do those two things, you ought to go out and make the case. And then the good people of Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, all across the country will get to sort it out.
Any hotels booked in Iowa over the next 6 to 9 months or so?
I'm going to be back in Iowa in a few weeks. I'm going to be up in New Hampshire in a few weeks as well. But we're still a couple of months off from making our decision.
Nothing like Iowa in late February, early March. I heard there's no more beautiful place to be. Now, the reason I replay that clip and bring that up is because yesterday Mike Pompeo trolled CNN a little bit. And CNN wrote a piece titled, "What's Mike Pompeo Doing in Iowa?" So Mike Pompeo responded to this tweet from CNN and said, "Dear coastal elites in the media, you don't write articles like this when I travel to New York City, Boston, or Philly. Do you think America's heartland isn't worth my time? Because I do. There's a lot of the country that exists outside of the Acela corridor. You should come visit it sometime." Now listen, that's nice. That's cute. But with all due respect, Mr. Secretary, you're not going to Iowa in late February, early March to just, you know, glad hand in your spare time. Like, let's all be serious here. You're going there because you are strongly considering a run for president. Like, I'm all about owning CNN. I'm all about making fun of CNN.
Fake news.
I'll do it whenever you want to do it. But spare me the whole, "I'm just visiting the people of the heartland. They're worth our time, too." Come on. We all know what's going on here. We're not stupid here, Mike. With all due respect, we're not.
No matter where we play, we foresee a ballpark district vibrant, not only during the 81 home games a year, hopefully a few more in October, but a hub that remains active during the team's road trips, as well as in the off season, enhancing our community 365 days a year.
Well, that sounds great, Brooke Sherman, the CEO of the Royals, but why do I care about that? Why does any Royals fan care about anything that happens off the baseball field? Especially when you're asking them to pay for it. That would be my obvious question to the Royals COO, Brooke Sherman. So last night, the Royals had another listening tour, and I use air quotes when I say that. It's really a telling tour where they tell you what they want to tell you and hope it looks good in the media. And maybe the TV media will buy that locally because, you know, they're a bunch of lemmings, but we're not going to buy it here. So the Royals had round two of this three-part listening tour last night. The first one was in Westport back in early December. The second one was last night at the Urban Youth Academy. And you had the owner, John Sherman. You had the COO, Brooke Sherman, no relation. You had other folks from the organization and Populous, the architecture firm, and other individuals who were up there on stage answering questions. Once again, none of these questions were planted or anything like that. No way, right? Answering questions from the audience on the idea of the Kansas City Royals moving downtown. And, you know, they have these big, pretty paintings and big, pretty drawings, and it looks so good on the screen, doesn't it? Oh, God, but look at the beautiful ballpark. Oh, my goodness, this would look so nice downtown. Okay. But when your pitch, like the Royals are making right now, is, hey, this is going to be a $2 billion project. $1 billion for a baseball stadium, $1 billion for a ballpark village. And they say, we're going to foot the bill for the billion-dollar downtown ballpark village. And we'd like some help from you, the taxpayer, for the billion-dollar stadium. That tells me, if you've got the $1 billion, if you can finance the $1 billion for the baseball stadium, why are you then choosing to spend that money on office space and restaurants and apartments? Why are you preferring to spend your money there versus just building a supposed $1 billion stadium? Please explain that to me. If you've got the money to finance the downtown village, why are you asking us to pick up the tab for a stadium? And no one's been able to answer that question. This listening tour has been anything but a listening tour. This has been a narrative tour, where the Royals already have the book written, right? The book is written. They are taking you chapter by chapter through the book as they see fit. Under the guise of, we're listening to you, the taxpayer. We're just here to get your input. No, you're not. And that's been my biggest problem with this entire process. Not that I'm against the idea of downtown baseball. Not that I'm against the idea of a Royals downtown stadium. This has been a process that has been insulting to any thinking person. This has been a process that has not been about input from you or really any interest in what you want as a fan, as a season ticket holder. It hasn't been about that. It's been about them. It's been about what's in their best interests. And then they hope that you will be a big enough sucker, John, to buy what they're selling hook, line, and sinker.
Right. I think we talked about early on, so kind of being rhetorical about why put the money into the village instead of the ballpark, right?
Yes.
Right. You can't pick up the local paper. For sale, fixer-upper, stadium, slightly used, you know, downtown location. It's easier to sell the other property or unload, you know, not that that's their ultimate goal, but when you invest in real estate,
that may be an end game. Yes. You're never going to sell a stadium. You may unload office space. Mm-hmm. You may unload apartments.
Yep.
You may unload restaurants. You won't be unloading a stadium. And if you're just a fan, right? You're a baseball fan. You want to see the Royals win baseball games again. And the Royals are saying, hey, we want a vibrant district. If you're a fan, you're sitting there saying, I want a vibrant team, damn it. That's what I want. I want a vibrant baseball team. That's all you care about. Why are you in the business of making sure the Royals create a vibrant district downtown? Especially considering the flight that's taken place out of downtowns all over the country, including Kansas City, in the wake of COVID, violent crime upticking, people working from home, looking for more space. Like, this made sense 10 years ago. Today, I'm not convinced that it does, especially when you're asking the taxpayer to be on the hook. So what are they asking for to you, by the way? Well, that's also a gray area right now. All we know is the Royals want to extend the 3/8-cent sales tax in Jackson County. The problem is, and they haven't brought this up, that deal is contingent on half of that money going to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs have not said anything about what they want to do. Now, the Chiefs are being pretty smart about this. They're letting the Royals take all the slings and arrows here, while they just sit back and go on another Super Bowl run and say, all right, let's let the Royals get hammered on this thing. And then, you know, we're just sitting back here watching it unfold in the public, and we'll see how it plays out. But if you want to extend the 3/8-cent sales tax that, of course, was passed by you, the voters, almost 20 years ago in Jackson County, okay, but the Chiefs have to get half of those monies. And the money only raised, what, $300 to $400 million over a 25-year period. You're asking for possibly up to, what, $1 billion? Where's the other $600+ million coming from the taxpayer? Unless you're going to have a 75-year 3/8-cent sales tax, which by then, the stadium's not going to even exist. So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, okay, you want to extend the sales tax, but you're not telling us how you're going to raise the rest of those monies. And the taxpayer deserves to know. I could see somebody with the Royals sitting there right now and saying to me, well, Pete, you don't know what we want to do. Then tell us. Tell us. Stop lying through your teeth and sitting there and telling the people of Kansas City, well, we had 14 stadium locations. Now we've got 4 to 5. And, you know, we want to extend the sales tax, but how much money we actually want from you, we're not sure. You know all these answers. You are lying about it. You are not being honest with the taxpayer about it. And the people of Kansas City do not deserve to be insulted by this dog and pony show that you're putting on around town, acting like you actually care what we think. This is a debacle start to finish. They have no intention of listening to you over this. And every single person in town who's buying this, led by the sports talk radio stations in town, are completely selling you out. Every single one of them.
Dear Royals, would like to help you out, but I'm paying for neighbors to wish, and please accept this gift card.
it's just insulting. The process is insulting. The process, the guys and gals who are overpaid consultants advising John Sherman on this are leading him down the wrong path. I believe John Sherman is a good man. We have mutual friends. I believe he wants to keep this thing in Kansas City, and I think he wants to do well by Kansas City. I genuinely believe that that is in his heart. But whoever advised him on this horrible listening tour should be fired yesterday. Steve's in Kansas City. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, buddy. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. What's up?
I'm just listening. I listen to you every morning, man. I mean, you have a great show. I appreciate it. My thought on this, I don't have a problem putting a stadium downtown. Like I was talking to your screener, you know, he said the 18th and Pine District, what have you. You know, why don't they make this, if it becomes reality, a condition of this? I do a lot of work down the city. I drive through these old neighborhoods all the time. Why don't they make this into more of a say this in quotations, a revitalization project, meaning these neighborhoods that are so impoverished, why isn't part of the requirement from either Kansas City, Missouri, or the state of Missouri is, hey, you know what? We'll give you this land. You just got to knock down all these houses that we just can't afford to, or that landlords won't do nothing about. Build some low-income housing to house these people in that you're now going to relocate. And then the city just donates the land. And then you actually turn this into a real, in reality, revitalization project.
Because they don't want to do that. They want to put it, I believe, and this is my belief, they want this thing in the East Village, east of City Hall, east of, you know, by the J.E. Dunn area. And thanks so much. The phone's getting a little spotty there, Steve. That's not appealing to them. It's really that simple. Because in the end, what they have to do is get people to come to that ballpark. Now, they'll do some, you know, woke stuff about affordable housing and whatever else that, you know, you have to do that, said the say in 2023, and make all these woke promises that really are just, you know, ways to keep certain people and certain groups quiet. But they don't want to actually do that. They want to latch on to what has already taken place over the last 20 years downtown. That's an easier play. The east side of the loop, obviously, is a place that is fairly desolate right now. And, you know, there are certain stakeholders involved with the team who obviously have incentive to develop that area. That's it. So, I mean, you know, in a perfect world, you make sense there, Steve, but it's just not going to happen. 5767710. Continue with your calls. Get your reaction to this. The Royals held part two of a 3-part listening tour yesterday. They've got the third one is coming up tonight, by the way. It's going to be an Independence tonight. So if you want to go, this is possibly the last opportunity to go out there to Independence and listen to what the ownership group is saying about downtown baseball for the Royals. It's going to be taking place at 5:30 tonight. Where's our location again? 5:30 tonight.
Lee Summit Road at the Midwest Genealogy Community Center.
Yes, 5:30
South
to 7.
South Summit Road in Independence.
There you go. That'll be tonight. So we'll get to more of you. Bill O'Reilly is going to be joining me at 8:30. Don't miss that. All coming up on KCMO. Well, it is a Wednesday morning. Just had Bill O'Reilly on. So we are going to have a rapid fire.
KCMO 710 AM and 103.7 FM.
It's time for What If Wednesday
on Mundo in the Morning.
What if instead of having you on this radio station, there was somebody else?
What If Wednesday, approaching 9 o'clock. What's up, John? What do you got for me?
What if the new KCI terminal is not fully staffed for the February 28th grand opening?
Well, if it's not fully staffed, be prepared to enjoy all the great food options around town because you may not get out of the new airport in time. I mean, they've got two more job fairs coming up, I think next week and the week after that, to try to staff the airport. And it's opening in literally 4 weeks from yesterday. I don't know how they're going to do it in time. I have no idea how they're going to have the people staffed for these restaurants to get them up to the airport to have everything functioning by the 28th. I suppose as long as the flights are getting in and out, then if you can't eat food, it's just like the old airport. So what's the big deal? There's nothing to eat. But I don't like the looks of that, John.
What if Laura Kelly and the Kansas legislature can't agree on how to cut taxes this year?
Well, then the state of Kansas is going to continue to be one of the slowest growing states in the entire nation. Actually, right now, there's more outbound growth, unfortunately, in the state of Kansas. And that's not something that any legislature or any governor should want to preside over. The legislature wants to do a flat tax and lower income taxes. Laura Kelly's looking at things like more, you know, grocery sales taxes and things of that nature. And, you know, I'm for a tax cut on both sides of those things, depending on what exactly they do and how they do it. The devil's always in the details, right? But I will say, whatever they do, they've got to come to some conclusion. And Republicans deserve some blame on this as well, because they're the ones who bent over for this whole project in Panasonic and DeSoto, when it's like, if you're looking to actually keep people here and bring people here to other parts of the state, Johnson County is doing fine. Help other parts of the state. And you guys just sold the farm for Panasonic, and I'm not convinced that's the win that you think it is, John.
What if the Royals did more listening than talking in their listening tour?
Well, then it'd actually be, you know, a listening tour. This listening tour that the Royals insist that they are having is anything but listening. What it is a carefully crafted talking tour where they tell you and they tell the news media in town and all media in town what they want you to know as a slow rollout and slow pitch to get you to give them hundreds, potentially hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer monies for a new downtown ballpark. The idea that they're genuinely interested in listening to you after last night's poor showing at the Urban Youth Academy is anything but a listening tour. But they hope you're dumb enough to buy it. I hate to say, but that's really what's going on. I think the intent from John Sherman was a good one. I genuinely believe that. But this whole listening tour has fallen flat on its face.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
And it has been an insult to any thinking person and any taxpayer. It's really been a disappointment to watch it unfold. 5767710. What if Wednesday in the books on KCMO Talk Radio? We got much more on this. The Kansas City Star wants an apology for Patrick Mahomes. That's next.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.